Truth is truth, amen. Truth is truth. But that's what we're trying to do. Okay, let's go to John 17 tonight. John 17 tonight. Beautiful book, Jesus. Jesus prayed that we all may be one. 17, through his name. Verse 10, they are all mine. And thine are mine. And I am glorified in them because they are mine. Amen. And boy, I like that. Romans 8, 16, 17. We are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can be called, what, children of God. Amen. Amen. Based on that concept. And then verse 13, now I come out to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. James 1:25. Write that there. Amen. Thy word, that perfect law of liberty. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. The inspiration of the Bible. And the world hath hated them. See, the world hate us because we got truth and because we belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. So don't be surprised when they hate you. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. And they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then 17, sanctify, the word sanctify means you set apart them through thy truth. That word is truth. Stop right there. See, how can you be in truth when you're still in the world? Amen. How can you be in truth if you're not part of him? Amen. You understand what I'm saying? See, the sanctification is that we are set apart by truth. That's why truth is so important. Did you read in the book of Exodus how explicit God were? In detail God were? God didn't leave not one thing out as to how he wanted it to be done in relationship to the building of the tabernacle, even in the clothing and in everything that they did. Because, see, truth is perfection, amen. See, truth is don't have no error. See, and that's the good thing about brothering, we who hold on to truth. And see, a lot of times we know truth and we understand truth, but we try to sometimes back away from truth. When you write, and you know you write 1 John 5:13, because you understand Ephesians 5:17 and know 1 John 5:13 that it is truth, why should you be ashamed? Amen. Why should you be apologetic? Amen. See, in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. I had to meet somebody this morning, 7 o'clock at McDonald's on the South Side, and a brother in Christ. And he said, have you been to the meeting this week? I said, what meeting? He said, at Collegeville. I didn't even know that a meeting was going on at Collegeville this week. And I said, no. I said, I'm not. He said, why not? I said, well, first of all, I didn't know a meeting were going, but even if I knew one were going, I would not go. He said, well, why not? Because the Bible's told me to come ye out from among them. Be ye separate, said the Lord. He said, that's what's wrong with us. That's the reason why we can't convert others, because we won't tolerate. I said, you start right there, brother. Don't you go no further. You about to make me not want this cup of coffee I just bought. Because number one, the Bible teaches you. See, to come ye out from among them, be ye separate, said the Lord. Touch not, handle not. If you know not something to be not right, or it violates truth, it breaks down the sanctification in me. Because what I do, 2 John 9, I partake of their evil deeds. Right or wrong? And see, when I partake of their evil deeds, truth no longer can work. We're no longer heirs of God, and we're joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because see, the Bible has given us a prerequisite to number one, that we may be one, that we may speak the same thing, that we may be of the same judgment. And that's the word. That's truth. See, that's the only thing going to keep us unified. It's truth. See, and in truth, there is no error. In truth, there is no 80-20 relationship. Either you got it or you don't have it. But you remember reading the book of Exodus? He said, I am a what? Jealous God. He said, I am a jealous God. You remember reading it? He said, now 6 days I give you to do whatever you want to do. But on the seventh day is my day. Just a couple of examples that we see here in relationship. That's truth. Amen. So what I'm saying, brethren, see, you got to understand when truth is truth. And sometimes when the situation arrives, I didn't bring the situation. Now, the situation was brought to me. I can't sugarcoat it just because I don't want to offend you. Because, see, if I sugarcoat to not want to offend you, I'm not helping you. See, I'm hindering you. See, because when the conversation ended, he says, well, I never thought of it that way. See, well, that's the way you should think about it. Amen. Because, see, each day we want that sanctification process to work in our life. Because, see, if you're not sanctified, number two, you can't glorify Jesus. Go back to verse number 10. He said, and all of mine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Why? Because we belong to him. What does sanctification do? It sets you apart from darkness to the marvelous word. Light. See, and that's the point that we need to understand. Go over to Colossians. I'm going to share a scripture real quick. Colossians. And a lot of times, people just don't understand that concept. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Start reading verse 1. I'm going to jump around. The whole chapter is good. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard, Romans 10:17, of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, Ephesians 1:3, see, wherein you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You hear what he's saying here? See, faith come by hearing by the word of God. Number two, it's spiritual in nature. Why? Because he used the phrase, which is laid up where? In heaven. Am I right? See, go to Colossians 3. Hold your spot there. Because see, Colossians 3 says, set your affection on things above, right? Where it's above heaven, right? And not on things on this what? Earth. Amen. But see, to do that, you got to be risen with Christ and seek those things which are above. See, which comes about when you hear the gospel being preached, which is what? Truth. You with me? Then he says, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and it bringeth forth fruit. You know what a good test of your spirituality is to see whether you bear fruit. The kind of life you live. If there's always confusion in your home, confusion in your life, confusion in your personality, the atmosphere around you, and you know. Something has broke down, or something is blocking the gospel of truth from working in your life. You with me? Because when you seek those things which are above, because you have been risen with Christ, am I right? It got to come because of the gospel of what you hear. Right? That's the reason why Jesus said, they are mine. Amen. And because they are mine, it's by my name and by my authority that I pray that they may be what? See, unity is not hard to accomplish if you let the gospel accomplish it. Amen. See, if you get back and let truth and sanctification take place, see, we can speak the same thing, be of the same mind, and build the same judgment. We can do it. But what happened is, we allow self-will, or we allow what we want to enter in, and what that do, it blocks truth of what you hear from working. That's the same thing. See, what good is coming to church and hearing the gospel being preached, and you hear it, but you do not apply it to your life? Amen. See, you come to church, and you come to church, and you hear preaching being done, but see, you the same old person. You still do the same old thing. You still hang with the same old people. Something wrong with that picture. Something is wrong with that picture. You can't hang with those people. You can't associate. It got to be a transformation in your life. It got to be a change in your life. And it comes about because of truth. Amen. And when you do that, it says here, you will bear fruit. So a good testimony would be, just examine yourself. See what kind of fruit you're bearing. Is it good fruit or is it bad fruit? You know what kind of fruit you're bearing. I know what kind of fruit I'm bearing. You can fool some of the people, but you'll never fool God. Amen. I know what kind of life I'm living when I leave here. I know what I have full of joy. I know what I have peace. I know what is confusion in my home or not. You do too. You know. But when that happens, see, it comes about because the gospel of truth is being preached, but it's not being applied to cause us to be sanctified, that is set apart from darkness to light. That's what the gospel is supposed to do. It's supposed to transform you. Here you was in darkness, right? We're going to see it in a minute. It said, who had delivered us, see, from the power of darkness. See, that's what the gospel would do. It would change you, folks. Things that you used to do, you just don't want to do no more. People you used to hang out with, you just don't want to hang with those people no more. And when the world see you, they're not going to understand. That's when they're going to talk about you. Because, see, they don't understand what has happened. See, they don't understand that you're not the same person. Something has changed you. See, if something has caused you a glorification process, that is, that when you live right, be the light, be the salt. See, it's that process of change. But on the other hand, when you see a person that comes to church and they come on a regular basis, but how they act, what they do, what they say, sometimes just what they say, what comes out their mouth, let you know what type of person that is. Amen? Because see, when you learn better, when you grow, when you mature, when you transform, I don't care if you was a cussing fool 2 weeks ago. See, the gospel would take that from you. It would take it from you. If you do the proper thing. Now, you can't stop cussing if you're around people that cuss all the time. It just ain't going to happen. See, if you're associated with people who use vulgar language, cuss all the time, derogatory, negativism, see, that's going to rub off on you. Because what comes in, what comes what? You see what I mean? So it says here that it bringing forth fruit as it does also in you since the day we heard of it. What did they hear? About the gospel. See, they heard it. And knew the grace of God in truth. Don't I tell you all the time three things? Number one, you got the understanding in Ephesians 5:17, right? Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you believe that most people hear it, understand it? No. In the church. If that's the case, people won't look at you and say, well, I don't know why y'all believe that. I don't know. How can you say that we can't partake the Lord's Supper on Sunday evening? Why would you say that? How come you say that? See, if you understood it, you wouldn't make those kind of remarks. Amen? Because when God tells you to do something, and you find in the book, well, why do you quench the Spirit, Ephesians 4:32? Why would you do it? Is it because of a lack of understanding? Or because you just don't know? Well, If you don't understand, you're not going to know. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, what would cause you not to understand? Hey, but one thing, it's sin. Sin blocks truth. The word of God being preached. Now, you've been doing something for 30 years, and you've been doing it, and you think that right. Well, that don't make it right. Amen. That's grace. It's long suffering. Does the Lord let you live that long to be wrong and then to know truth and change? That's enough to make you want to say amen. Amen. Because suppose you would have died in error. You would have been lost. Because ain't but one way. John 14:6, am I right? Am I right? See? So drop it down verse 13 right quick. See, this is what happened here. It said, who has delivered us? The us is Christians, amen. You know 21 books is to Christians, right? Faith for Christians, right? Who has been what delivered, amen. Now, if you ain't been delivered, you ain't part of us. If you're still in that same mold, you ain't been sanctified, don't put your name there. Because, see, you don't have a right to put your name there. That's blaspheme against God. Why don't you put your name there and you haven't been translated? If you don't bear no fruit, don't you do that. Amen. That's what's wrong with the world now. Too many folks say they're Christians, but they're not Christians. Check your head. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption. That's really why Jesus said they are mine. You gave them to me, now they're mine. The world don't understand them, but I do. I'm going back, but they're going to stay here. Watch over them. Amen. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And this is what I don't understand. How can God forgive you and redeem you by the blood, but you don't want to forgive nobody else? Hello? See, forgiveness is bearing fruit, right? That's a result of bearing fruit, am I right? But to bear fruit, amen, am I right? Go back to chapter 3 right quick. See, chapter 3 says, set your affection on things which are what? And not on things on what? But to do that, you got to be risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sit on the heavenly places. And here in verse 5, he said, for the hope which is laid up for you where? In heaven, which is nothing but spirituality. Now, I don't know why nobody's afraid you want to make the church colorful. You can't get nothing out of carnality, can you? See? And that's what he said here. See? So when you go to 17 again, go back to John 17:17. That's the process that it takes of sanctification. You know, all my life I thought that a sanctified church was the wrong thing. And I know where they get that messed up. Y'all know what we're talking about growing up a sanctified church? You remember that? Sanctify them through thy word, thy truth, thy word is truth. See, that is the transformation and the change that takes place comes through the truth of the gospel. Thy word is truth, and truth is in the gospel. Amen. See, it's like a church say, our church name is the Gospel Church. Well, how can it be the Gospel Church when you ain't preaching truth? Full deliverance gospel. Well, how can it be? I'm going to deliver you and you in error. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Don't it make sense? See, the gospel is the truth that sanctifies us, right? We're set apart by truth, which is the what? 2 Thessalonians 2:14, we're called by what? The gospel, which is what? Truth. See, so he can't call you to truth, which is the gospel, if it violates, or if you allow error to enter in. So what I'm saying is, when you're reading the book, and you're reading the Bible, what the Bible say, you know, wherever it may be, I'm making a different one of these. Same way you read in the book of Exodus, he told them exactly what they had to do. See, exactly what they had to do. Did they have a choice? No. And then, toward the end, about 39 and 40, Then it said two or three times, they did everything that the Lord commanded them to do. Didn't they say that? They did everything. They didn't say it one time. I think they said it about three times. They did everything, not something, but everything that the Lord told them to do. Now, if they had to do everything the Lord told them to do, why should we do what we want to do? You can't do it. You can't do it. If you're going to be sanctified, that is translated from the power of darkness into his kingdom, that is to bear fruit based on what you have heard, amen, that is according to the gospel. And the gospel is truth. That's the, here we go again. Let me tell you something. If you ain't got this within your mindset, you ain't going to understand. That's the five. Am I right? That's the 12. That's the 5. That's the 17. See, that's the 5, the 12, the 5, the 17. Am I right? That's the 4, the 1, the 21, the 1. See, why am I saying that? Because it ain't number numbers, but I understand that what that means. Don't you? See, because that's true. Mindset. See, you're transforming your thinking to understand the power of the gospel. That's through understanding. See? Tomorrow, out of curiosity, ask three people, maybe you work with or wherever, who seem to be religious. Just walk up to them and ask them, how many books in the Bible? And see what kind of response they get. That's all you're going to ask them. They're going to say, why do you want to know? I say, I just want to know. See what they say. But those same people that they are saved, that they bear fruit, that they know, that they understand, that Jesus put it on their heart, or whatever you want to say. That was a good question. It's a super question. You'll see it Saturday, Sunday. Someone asked that question. But I'm not going to put my answer where I told you. But I replied. Did you get the email today? I replied back to you too. Okay? What's your answer? Now, when you get the question on your analysis, you ought to be able to answer if you know the 5, 12, 5, and 17. Because, see, you understand, don't you? And you know, am I right? Am I right? Because you've been sanctified, because you have been transformed based on what you've heard by truth, which is the gospel, because you have been translated, see, you have been changed, amen. That is, that you've been delivered up in the kingdom, which is the church. Am I right? Y'all with me? See? Amen? Another good example. When you see us acting the way we act, think about these verses. There's something wrong. Amen? Husband and wife, when you see your husband begin to act other than the way he's supposed to act, you need to hit him with this book. I was just talking about hitting him, but something wrong. I ain't gonna do no good if you're gonna hit him if he ain't been transformed. Great John. Yeah. Every time. That's it. Well, go to Galatians right quick. I mean, that's a law of reciprocity all day. Amen. Because Galatians chapter 6, it talks about it, right? Be not deceived. Am I right? Galatians 6, verse 7, read the whole chapter, it's good. Verse 4, they be not deceived, verse 7. Somebody told me write Mark 4:21, but that's got it. That's a good verse too. God is not marked. For whatsoever man sows, so shall he what? For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap what? But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. So the way you sow, see, what kind of seed you sow, a plant, well, that's what's going to come up. Sow toward the Spirit, you're going to get what? Sow toward the flesh, you're going to get what? And you know what? If you go back and look at your life, and you examine your life and tell the truth and look at all things that happened to you, whether they're good and bad, y'all know that's right. Because everything that happened to us in a negative way or bad way is because of sin. Right or wrong? See? Somebody may have told you, don't do it, and you did it anyway. Don't hang with that person, but you did it anyway. Or whatever you did. But see, the end result is, if it's con, if it's flush, the end result going to be corruption. How many times we say, I hate I ever done that. I wish I'd never done that. Amen? Because that's just a fact of life. Now, you're a Christian. See, you see those things which is above. If you've been risen, see, you should understand that. That's the reason why. See, to be sanctified, you got to make a decision who you're going to serve. Because you can't serve two masters. Ain't nowhere in the world you leave here and hang with the world and expect the Spirit to come. It ain't going to happen. We talked about that in James, didn't we? We talked about faith. Ain't no way. But see, a lot of us don't want to make changes in our life. Want to keep status quo, keep doing the same thing that we're doing. See, we think blessings come based on what we have in a material way. So therefore, we do everything that we can to try to maintain it. We miss church. We're late for church. We don't even come to church. See, that's the same thing. Well, number one, when you understand 1 Corinthians 11, when it said when the whole church come together in one place, Romans 15:4. Whatsoever things are written aforetime, written for our learning. Now, I know that the Sabbath day was a part of the Old Testament, but it still have a spiritual principle. God give you 6 days to do whatever you want. Amen. And on the Lord's day, it should be his day. Am I right? Amen. That's the reason why when the whole church come together in one place at one time, we come together to celebrate the 5 items of worship. Now, why should we have to change some to fit you because you choose to do what you want to do or violate what God told us what to do? Does that make sense? And that's when it began to be added. Amen? Because, see, when the whole church came together one place at one time, they just worshiped right then. Did they not? Because if it wasn't important, the Holy Spirit never would have said it. Am I right? And we do all 5 items of worship. Now, when we serve the celebration, well, where were you? Amen. You have been invited to dinner, and then you don't get there. And then when you do get there, all the food ate up. Because you wasn't on time, and they told you to be there at 1 o'clock, but you didn't get there at 6. And then you get mad because everybody ate up all the food. Well, you should have been there. Amen. Because they told you what time dinner was going to be what? Sir. But the whole point that I'm saying is, if you didn't be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where? In heavenly places. Why? Because you want to bear fruit. What bear fruit is? Obedience. Based upon the old, what was written for an example, that we may learn, that we may have hope. Am I right? That is, and that's a spiritual principle. That the Lord give you 6 days. You can't get it done in 6? Amen. Now, whose fault is it if you don't put yourself out in the left field through greed, whereby you got to go out there and make money to hold on to something that you don't even need? That you got to forsake the assembly or not be with the saints on the first day of the week when the whole church comes together. Think about it. Examine yourself. Amen. But see, when you've been transformed, when you've been sanctified based on things that you have heard, you're hearing this, brother. Some of y'all might not like what I'm saying. Amen. Well, don't get angry with me because we say, well, we're not going to do it. And the reason why we're not going to do it, because we knew the importance of coming on that day, and we already did it. Don't need to do it no more. Amen. See, and that's the whole point. Same way, you remember that? When he told him, just get just enough food for yourself. But what happened when they got greedy? The next day, what happened to that food? Because they disobeyed God. See, he told them, just get just enough. See, because See, and you didn't have to worry about, well, I'm going to get me a dog bag. Because he was going to provide for you the next day anyway. Amen. And then the next provision was going to be just as fresh. Why you want some old food for? We ain't going to give you fresh food. Did y'all understand that? See, y'all with me? But see, if you don't understand that, and you don't understand that, and you don't understand that, based on what you have heard, which is the gospel, which is true, brother, you ain't going to never be sanctified. You'll never be able to make the changes in your life. And the reason why, because a brother say, like that brother say, well, you know, Val Park done lost their mind. Well, have we? Have we? But we just read, because they don't know us, they're going to hate us. Because we hold on to what truth. Because, see, we are his. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the process that he's trying to get them to see here, them go to you. Because, see, Jesus knew that death was here. The hour was come. Jesus knew at this point in his life, in Luke 19:10, to come and seek and save that which was lost. He was going back to heaven. So what he was trying to do is get them indoctrinated to understand that even when I leave and die, you're going to have trouble on your hands. But hold on to truth. That same thing. See, your family members going to hate you. Your family members going to talk about you. See, I was with my family the other day, and they were talking. And I didn't know about it. I told Dara. I said, you know, my aunt, I don't have that many aunts still living. They had a birthday party in Birmingham, and they were talking about it. Oh, we had a good time. They didn't even tell me. And I'm sitting here listening to them and say, tell me, y'all had a party here in Birmingham? She my aunt too, like Kobe say. I think I'm still part of y'all family. But see, they all associate together because they all go to the same church together. They all go to my brother-in-law's church over there in what center point where it may be. And so they communicate more than I would communicate with them. You understand what I'm saying? So, but that didn't bother me because, see, I'm going to die anyway. Go ahead, brother. And then we're going to move on. That's right. That's it. Define an honest heart. Define a good and honest heart. Honest heart is nothing but understanding. That is that you literally know, 1 John 5:13, these things written that you may know. So you understand that lying is wrong. You understand that slothfulness is wrong. You understand it's wrong to cheat on your wife. You understand 1 John 3:4, James 4:17. Hebrews 10:26. See, you understand those scriptures totally. And because of that, you know that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's a fact that each and every one of us face every day. Amen. And because of that the human side of us, that when we do sin, that we have the ability to be able to, number one, that's the exam. To know, am I right? That whatever beset you, it makes no difference where it may be. I got angry. Amen? Am I right? I said my mouth said something wrong. Whatever beset you, that when you examine yourself with the word, am I right? With truth, right? You do what you do to get rid of this. Now that's a good honest heart. But to do that, it got to be an understanding. Amen. To want to nullify this here in order for that not to be there no more. And most people who are already in sin or who are beset by sin. Now that's the problem. See, if you're already in sin, and sin has control over your mortal body. You understand what I'm saying? At that point, you don't control your body, sin controls it. And you play with it long enough, he's going to send you a strong delusion. Or make you a reprobate. And whenever you get to that state, see, I don't care what I say. Because the seed ain't going to penetrate. Am I right? You with me? So that honest heart that he's talking about, that I know I sin, right? And I know I have problems. I know what my shortfalls is. I know what I have to work with every day. See, there are things in my life, they'll never go away. But I just control it. Through the word. But I know it's there. Okay. You with me? But that good honest heart is, I know it's there. And my thought is that I'm not going to let it control me, but I'm going to control it. See, but it comes through a knowledge of 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That is that you study, you put it there. That is that sin overtakes, light overtakes darkness. Go ahead, Marcus. Yes, good word, conviction. See, that is that the word of God calls you to have some substance. What Hebrews 11:1 is. Faith is the substance. See, that's what that is. That's that substance there. That's the word there that calls you to be convicted. That in spite of what other people do, 1 Corinthians 15:58, I'm going to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, it's like me. See, I don't get alone to get alone. I get alone with truth. Now, if you choose not to be obedient toward the word, I don't have no choice but to withdraw myself from you. And I will withdraw myself from you. That's the reason why. Why would I subject myself to people who are not yoked with me? You with me? See, why would I want to have friends that don't even think like I think? Why do I want people around me like that? You understand what I'm saying? See, some people got buddies that come over your house. But how can you be my buddy when we're not heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ? Y'all with me? Y'all with me? Because see, what it do, Marcus, it robs the substance from me. It's like a battery that pulls against the battery that causes that battery to go what? Dead. See, it's like, I was standing on the porch last night, and I looked out the driveway, and I saw something blinking. But I thought maybe it was a car down the road that was blinking. And I went outside and looked, but Doris had left her blinker on. It was just blinking. Now, if she never would have went and cut that off, her battery would have been dead this morning. It would have drained the battery. Because it had no business what? You understand what I'm saying? So she had to go out there and cut it off. See, either her knee had hit something that caused it to come on, or what it may be, that caused that light to be on. See, and that's what sin does right here. See, when you don't have no conviction, a lot of people just ain't got no conviction. They'll do anything in the name of Jesus. You ever seen people like that? They say one thing out their mouth, and another thing, Jesus. You ever seen people like that? You understand what I'm saying? See, people you work with, they're up and down. I know I got Jesus. I know what Jesus done for me until. You with me? See, And that's a good word, conviction. They just don't have them convicted. Hadn't been converted. Now, that's a good word, too. See, they hadn't been converted. See, a lot, everybody been baptized, they ain't converted. See, that's the problem with the church. You got a lot of people may have been scripture to baptize, but as newborn babes desire to sin, sin, nickel of the word, they hadn't grown. Like in Hebrews 5, they still need what? Milk. Because they can't eat meat. You understand what I'm saying? They just hadn't grown. So that's the problem with churches today. You say, well, Al, why are we going through this reading this thing here? Because that ain't enough. I'm telling you, folks, that ain't enough. You just reading four chapters a day? That ain't enough. Do you realize who the devil is and what he's capable of? Do you realize you work with the devil? The devil all around us? Y'all hear me? And the crazy thing about it, they don't know they're the devil. You got people in the church full of the devil. Amen? You got people in here the devil. Some of y'all the devil. I might be the devil. Amen? I'm not saying that fun. It's the truth. And you don't get but one chance at this. Amen? And that's the reason why, brethren, we shouldn't take it lightly. See, you shouldn't take it lightly because, see, what we're up against and what we're dealing with, and I guess Ephesians 5:11, when we talk about fighting the wiles of the devil, he's a slippery old rascal. Amen? From the beginning. He's been doing it a long time. You understand what I'm saying? That man say ain't no shame in the game, but see if that transformation don't take, but very few people, and that's the reason why you're seeing people doing the same thing over and over. And then you know what? We partake of the evil deed because we allow them to do it. And the reason why that if you see me doing wrong, if I see you doing wrong, well, it should be corrected right then. It's same thing your child. When you see your child doing something, you say, well, I'm going to wait 2 weeks and see if you're going to change. You stop it right then. Don't you? Am I right? Because you don't want to go no further. You want to nip it in the bud, don't you? See? You see your little boy smoking cigarette, what you going to say? Well, maybe he's going to put it down in a month. Well, let him smoke them up, and then hopefully he ain't going to want no more. Is that what you're going to say? I mean, you go in his room and find some marijuana. You're going to say, well, let him go on smoking on up. And then hoping he'll get it out of his system. How are you going to deal with it? Well, it's the same thing. When we allow a brother to do what they want to do, amen, what it do, it pulls from us. Amen. Y'all with me? Y'all ain't angry with you. Everything all right? But it wouldn't matter if you were anyway. Well, that's the truth with the truth. I mean, will I be your enemy because I tell you the truth? Whatever it is. Go ahead, my brother. Say it again. Help us how? How? Let me ask you a question, Randy. And I hear this all the time. Wrong is wrong, right? If you know you're wrong, how long do it take to correct wrong? Oh, let me put it this way. If you're wrong, do the Lord put you on a 90-day grace period to continue wrong? And hopefully in 90 days you straighten it out and you die. You understand the point that I'm saying? Now, I understand what you're saying. They didn't get in this mess overnight, and it takes time. But that time means that they got to have a desire to want to change. See, it got to be a desire to come ye out from among them. We need to see the seriousness of error in our life. Amen. Now, I can help you. I can pray for you. I can encourage you. I can do whatever I can to help you stay on the straight and narrow. Amen. But you got to be willing to make a decision whom you're going to serve. See, I hear people saying, well, they ain't grown in that. They ain't grown in that, but they still allow them to do what they want. That's, you can't do that. The Bible says, come ye out from among them. That's what he's saying. And the danger is, until you make up your mind what you're going to do, suppose you die. Now, I would rather for you to tell me, if I came to you right now, Randy, and said, I got a problem. Amen. And I tell you what that problem is. Only me and nobody else can make that decision to stop it. But I got to want to stop it. I got to have a desire to stop it. But mostly, it got to be that teaching here, the understanding that give me a reason why. See, good example. See, among black churches, they used to take up money during Sunday school. They said, why are you taking up money during Sunday school? Well, we're teaching children how to give. That's the wrong way to teach them. Because number one, you can't take up money during Sunday school because number one, in taking up money in the Lord's church is only on the third day of the week if you prosper to lay by and store. Children don't prosper nothing. The mom and dad will give it to them. That's not prospering. Amen. Now, the only way you're going to teach that child by giving is going to the Word. Now, is it right for us to say, well, we're going to have a mortgage contribution, or we're going to have a Sunday school contribution, or we're going to have a building fund contribution? You understand what I'm saying? A lot of churches do that. You understand what I'm saying? See, and then you separate your money. You lay by and store as God prosper. Do the way God tell you how to do it. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? See, it's teaching. And the only way a person, you can work with a person, they got to change. But they can't change if they don't have a desire to want to change. Or you mollycot with them. I mean, you're not going to tell your children, well, I know you're wrong, and I'm going to give you 2 weeks to straighten it out. You tell them children, you're going to stop it now. Don't you? Who you hanging out with? Who your friends is? You want to know that, don't you? Don't you? So you can straighten it out. Well, what's the difference with your spirituality? See, we placate people. We allow people to do what they want, and you can't do it. Because here's the word right here. The gospel you got to hear, you got to be sanctified by truth, am I right? But to do that, number one, you got to seek those things which are above, not down here. And then number two, you got to be risen with Christ. Because if you don't have all those attributes and you don't bear no fruit, you ain't going to never change. And that's what's wrong with people. We allow people just, and I hear brothers say that all the time, well, bro, they just ain't got that. You know, why haven't they not? Amen. The church is a spiritual vehicle whereby we're supposed to be the light. See, we can't be the light. They can't see Jesus in us if we're just like them. And that's the way people see the church. Preachers killing their wives. They found preacher's wife dead today, or where you were at, yesterday. I ain't saying the man did it. It shouldn't be that way, brother, but it happens because we mollicate the gospel. And but one way to do it, I'm going to say this in a hush. John 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And let me tell you something, brother. If you see me doing something wrong, see, you ain't doing me no justice if you let me get away with it. And vice versa. If I see you doing something wrong, I hurt you. Amen. See, am I right? Go to Galatians 6 right quick, then we're going to end it. Because in Galatians 6, he talks about that, didn't he? Y'all with me? See, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, read what I said, Brother Frank. Uh-huh. Wait a minute. Who, brother, who that is? That's the church, right? Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. 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 Read right to me. We are responsible to be our brother's keeper. Amen. Up until that point. That is, the blind can't lead the blind. But if you are spiritual, if you are able to help him, God going to hold you accountable to it. And the only way God going to hold you accountable to it is to do it the Bible way. Right? And there's no other way. See? Verse 2. Read it. Uh-huh. That's it. But to be taught, you got to have some understanding, right? Am I right? See, you got to have that understanding. Because, see, if you don't have that understanding, you're not going to comply. Because you can't do what you don't know. You can't be convicted. Convicted of what? If it ain't there. Amen? Am I right? And that's the point that we should understand. Okay. Well, we didn't get to one verse. I'm going to finish the chapter tonight. But wasn't that good? You understand what I'm saying? Well, all right. Let's remember Brother Fred.